time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you thrive no matter what life throws your way. This is where we talk about how to be successful, how to grow in life, how to expand your well-being, and how to become the person you want to be, a person of impact in the world, a person of meaning, a person of purpose, and a person who lives to their highest standard. My name is Lee Bockham, and I am a part-time thriver, full-time thriveologist, which means that I'm always studying how people thrive, and part of the time, I at least apply that to my own life. I always am striving to do that more. And today, we're talking about the fact is, you're going to be all right. And I say that regardless of what's going on in your life. In the end, you're going to be all right. There's a saying from John Lennon that says, everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Now, there are a lot of reasons why we kind of pull through this and have a tough time with this. But what we often find is that when people go through life events, they get to the place finally on the backside of being all right. And it really doesn't matter what that event is about. It can be a huge tragedy or a great windfall. And yet people find themselves at about the same place of thriving, of being the best they could be. We humans have this great capacity of getting back to a normal state, of habituating, as the term is called in social psychology, of getting back to the same state. Now, habituation works for us and against us, because habituation is the fact that whatever's going on around us, we will get used to it. It will become the new norm. Some years back, we moved into a neighborhood that was kind of a step up from our older neighborhood, into a bigger house, surrounded by bigger houses, and surrounded by a lot of little step up for us in socioeconomic life. And I remember those first few weeks of walking around thinking I didn't belong there. You know, I was walking my dog through the neighborhood going, oh, who's going to come up behind me and say, hey, you know what? You don't really belong here. You need to go back to where you're from. And then one day, and a while later, it took several months, but a while later, I was walking through the neighborhood going, well, this is just my neighborhood, not feeling out of place, not feeling like I should be at a different place. The fact is that I had habituated to my new surroundings. I'd gotten used to it. It's the same thing that happens when people find themselves at a new stage of life. You know, at first it can be a struggle, it can be difficult, and then they get back to kind of the baseline. In fact, we humans have a set baseline of happiness or of the other side of that, of sadness, that we often find ourselves returning to no matter what goes on. And so when it works against us, habituation means that when we are always looking for that outside reason to finally feel better, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be the next job, the next promotion, the next spouse, the next boyfriend, girlfriend, the next relationship, the next friend, the next paycheck, the next windfall, the next time you win the lottery or the first time you win the lottery. It's not going to be that new car. It's not going to be the bigger house, the new neighborhood. It's not going to be that big vacation. It's not going to be anything that's going to take you to the next level, at least long term. And that's where it fights against us, because no matter what's going on, when we try to find that external place that is going to make us feel better, is going to finally get us to the place where we want to be, when we get that, it might have some initial moments of that, and yet we return to our baseline. After some tragedy or windfall, within a couple of years, most people return to a baseline. And research shows that whether it's a big windfall, winning the lottery, or a huge tragedy, you know, someone having a huge catastrophic tragedy, usually the people return to a baseline. In fact, almost always, the research has been done on people who became quadriplegic or paraplegic, and they find that their happiness level returns after a couple of years. And the same is true for the people who have won the lottery, that their level of excitement about life and the level of feeling higher in life returns to the baseline that they had before they ever won that money. So what do we do? Well, a crisis can be a wake-up call. A windfall can be a wake-up call. Any change can be a wake-up call, and it takes some time to get used to the new reality, whatever that is, whether it's being left in a relationship or whether it's losing a job or whether it's finding a new relationship or getting a new job, whatever it is, it takes a while to get used to the new reality. And so part of the task in the midst of a windfall or a crisis is to wait it out a little bit and get used to that new reality. And then focus on the possibilities that are there in any change. Every time there's a change, there's a new possibility of what could happen in life. And that doesn't matter whether it's a crisis or a windfall. Whenever something changes, we have the new opportunity of moving ourselves to a different place, but only if we take advantage of it. Only if we decide that we're going to use that tragedy as a growth point or the windfall as an opportunity point. What often happens is that we find that the tragedies we see as a limiting point, and the windfalls we see as the possibilities that then don't pan out down the road. And this is part of the reason that we always get back to that baseline, because we're always kind of moving in this place that brings us back to our baseline unless we decide to do something different. So I have full assurance that everything will be okay in the end, because that's what happens when we decide that we're going to be okay in the end. That's the secret, that when we say, you know what, everything's going to be okay in the end because I'm going to make it that way, then we can make it through those painful points. And even in those painful points, we can say, I don't know how I'm going to get to a better place. I just know I can. I don't know how I'm going to get to beyond where I've been before. I just know I can. And so part of the starting point is to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to be okay. No matter what's going on around me, I'm going to be okay. And to rely on that as an internal reference point, not an external reference point, but an internal reference point. Whenever we're relying on some external reference point that's going to make us okay or going to be harmful to us, either of those places, whenever we're looking at those external events as what's going to determine where we head, we're going to find ourselves buffeted by what's going on around us rather than saying, you know what, whatever comes my way, I'm going to deal with it and I'm going to grow from it. And whether it is a problem, a tragedy, or a windfall, good luck, I'm going to decide that I'm going to grow and I'm going to move beyond my current state. So here are five ways of doing that. Number one is to recognize that just because things have changed doesn't mean you're not okay. And that doesn't matter whether it's because of a windfall where suddenly everybody's gathered around you and wanting more of your time, more of your attention, and more of your resources, or whether it is a major life tragedy where you find yourself feeling like you're at the bottom of the heap. Either way, when you can recognize that just because things have changed, that doesn't mean you're not okay, then you begin to rise above it. The things that change around us don't change who we are on the inside. And that's the place where we can be okay, where we can find our difference and not be stuck, not be lost, not be caught off guard, and not be losing our way in the woods. You know, one of the things that surprised me was finding out that okay was a shortened way of saying all correct long ago. And even though it was based on a misspelling, I kind of like that of thinking back that everything's going to be okay is pretty much the same as saying everything's going to be all right. That in the end, everything's going to be all right. That all is going to be right, not meaning that all is going to be the way we want it. So recognize that just because things have changed doesn't mean you're not okay. You're okay. You're all right because you focus on the place of the internal, not what's going on around you, but finding that place of stillness and connection within you to the more pure place of the self. And the interesting thing is whenever we have those high moments and low moments, those are the pieces that show our still self, our inner spirit, our core place. Because we draw upon that during the times. It doesn't pull us away. It doesn't change it. It lets us recognize that whether we've gained something or lost something, it stripped us down to our basics. We're back to having to look at who we really are, not who we're made to feel like we are because of those external events, but who we truly are, how we're going to take on the world. So number two, focus on the opportunities and change, not the loss. No matter what the change comes along, there is some loss. If you were to win the lottery, there would be some loss. The loss might be something you'd be happy to give away, but there's some loss. People will change the way they reference you, how they approach you. Some of your innocence will be lost. If some tragedy happens, there are losses associated with that. So you focus on the opportunities in the change. What does this bring from me? What are the possibilities of my new being that take me to a higher place? And then we begin to focus on those as opportunities to grow into. When we take on some tragedy in our life and decide we're going to grow beyond it, we're looking at the opportunities in that. That what does it teach us about who we are at our core, who can we can be, and how we can rise above it. So focus on those opportunities in any change, not the loss. Now, it doesn't mean that the losses aren't there, but sometimes we get so fixated on what we're losing, what was lost, that we lose sight of the opportunities that have been presented to us. Number three, raise your baseline. I've already said that research shows we're going to return to our baseline. So what if we raise our baseline? What if we raise our base layer of where we are in our overall life, how we live our lives? And I would propose three different ways of raising your baseline. First, practice gratitude. And there's a simple way of doing this. This is something I recommend ongoing, is that once a day, either in the morning or in the evening, you write down three things for which you're grateful for. And there are three different things. So each day you can't use the same ones. And the reason you can't use the same ones is because then you won't be looking for this. You'll just write them down and you'll stop thinking about it. You'll kind of go through the process, but you won't really think about it. So this is writing down three different things every day for which you're grateful. Just three. And if you want to start your day that way, you can write down those things in the morning, and then in the evening, look back on those three things and recall them to yourself. Or you can write them in the evening, at the end of the day, about the three things you were grateful for that day, and the next morning review it. Remind yourself of the fact that you are grateful for them. You do that every single day, and what happens is your brain begins to look for gratitude. It begins to look for where it can find those three things. And as you begin to focus on that, you raise your baseline, because gratitude brings us to a different place than almost any other emotion can do. And you don't have to decide what you're grateful to. You know, you don't have to claim a God or anything else if you don't want to. But if you want to and see it as God's blessing, that's fine. It doesn't have to be that. So it depends on where you exist within that. You can still name three things for which you're grateful. The next thing you do is raise your standards. A standard is what you expect of yourself, and there always is room to raise our standards. Now, one of the problems in life is that we often apply these standards to other people, and that's what leads us to frustration and usually leads us to less gratitude and less higher living. And it lowers our baseline when we're trying to put our standards on other people. But when we raise our own standards, we begin to move our baseline up. So if you have certain things that you think are very important, raise that a little higher. If you believe in honesty, to focus on being more honest. If you believe in loyalty, to focus on being more loyal. If you believe in working hard, then you focus on how you can do that in an appropriate way. So what you're doing is you're looking for what you expect of yourself and raising what you expect of yourself to a little higher level. Reach a little higher. We always have room to raise our standards. And one of the core pieces of that is just to say, am I even living the standards that I claim? Can I just raise that place a little bit to a higher place, to being a better person by looking at who I expect of myself to be? The third piece of that is practicing extreme self-care. To decide that you're responsible for what happens to you, that you're responsible for what's going on around you, that you're responsible for the people in your life, you're responsible for the events in your life, and you're responsible for how you respond to the events that come your way. You're responsible to take care of yourself, to make sure that your boundaries are appropriate, that when you decide that you can't do something, you're willing to say no. No is a big piece of self-care, of deciding what you will do and what you won't do. Saying yes and saying no are crucial pieces of extreme self-care. But there's another piece of that, which is taking care of your body. No matter what's happened, and let's say that what's brought you to the place of not feeling all right is some health issue, there are still ways you can take care of yourself on higher levels. It doesn't mean that it's going to heal or cure those things. And we all have to live with our own places of limits of physicality and the fact that we are all mortal beings. And so when we're practicing this extreme self-care, we're only doing what we can to care for a body that is fairly fragile and that one day is not going to take us any further. So practicing extreme self-care may be, how can you take your exercise a little bit to the next level to take care of yourself? How can you take care of your sleep pattern a little bit better? How can you eat a little bit better? How can you be a little more careful about the environment and how your environmental pieces are impacting you, the chemicals around you? Begin to practice extreme self-care. What will you allow into your life and what will you not allow into your life? Okay, number four of how to be okay is to practice forgiveness, both self-forgiveness and forgiving of others. Self-forgiveness is recognizing that you're going to fall short. It's not just a cast off of saying, oh, that's okay, I excuse myself, but to really focus on the fact that we often feel bad about things year after year when there's nothing that we can do to change it and there's nothing we can do to affect what's already happened. And that's the point when we get to self-forgiveness. And sometimes self-forgiveness is harder than forgiving another person. But let's go with the forgiving another person as another layer of that. That when we don't forgive other people, we have chosen to drag things around with us. When we don't forgive ourselves, we've chosen to drag things around with us that only weigh us down, that keep us from being all right. And so when we practice forgiveness, we can begin to focus on letting go of the pieces of which we have no control, our own and other people, and decide we're not going to carry around those hurts and those pains from the past, that we're going to be able to say, you know what, I put that in the past and I let it go and I decide not to hold on to it. Now, sometimes people really get a little touchy around forgiveness because it's such a loaded term and they feel like if they forgive somebody or themselves, they're letting them off the hook. Forgiveness is just not that. Forgiveness is a decision to no longer carry something around, whether it's something that happened to you or something that you did, to no longer carry it around, to say, you know what, I've got to let that go. I'm not going to keep dragging it around. And number five is to practice self-compassion, to be able to look at yourself with compassion, with empathy, to recognize that we all are human, that we all fall short, and that includes ourselves. Sometimes we have an easier time forgiving other people and letting other people off the hook and being empathetic towards other people. And when we look at ourselves, we can't give ourselves self-compassion. Self-compassion is being able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? Every day I do the best I can, and I can't keep knocking myself down for what I don't do, what I can't do, what I haven't done. I have to be accepting of myself as a human. Now, you don't have to accept what you do, your actions. Those can change, but you do have to accept yourself as a human with human foibles that's going to fall short. So one more time, how do you be okay? In the end, you're going to be all right. You recognize that just because things have changed doesn't mean you're not okay. You really are okay. At your core, you're an okay person. Let's get to the place where you can be that. Number two, focus on the opportunities in the change, not just the loss that's there, but what are the possibilities of growth and change? Number three, raise your baseline. Practice gratitude, raise your standards of what you expect of yourself, and practice extreme self-care about what you will allow into your life and what has to be held out of your life. Number four, practice forgiveness, both self-forgiveness and forgiving other people. And number five, practice self-compassion, seeing yourself as somebody that needs acceptance from yourself, as somebody who's doing the best you can where you are, just as everybody else around you is. Okay, I wanted to say that because I truly believe that we're all going to be all right. And we have to accept that we're all right no matter what comes our way, no matter what life throws our way, we can make a choice to be okay. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.